Your personal brand starts with your appearance, and what you wear says everything about you to others. You've heard a dress for the job you want? Well, we're talking to fashion experts on creating an authentic look to attract the life you want on the Style Interpreted Podcast. How you guys doing? I'm Tony Arce. Welcome to the Style Interpreted Podcast. Today I'm joined by Rachel J. Penka, founder and chief stylist at Rachel J. Styling. Rachel, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be in your studio. It's amazing.
It has been nothing but a pleasure getting to know you and just the professionalism, but more than anything else, you just have such a warmth and you can just tell this beautiful soul and heart that I'm just so excited to be able to get to know you.
That's the hugest compliment. Thank you so much.
Aww. And then to top it all off, I mean, the fit.
Here I am.
You're rocking it.
In lime green.
Love
the
it.
The color of the season.
Now, the season, but not the weather. Necessarily, right? We're not there yet.
Right. It's not spring yet in Chicago by any means. I think it's maybe 40 degrees today.
Yeah, but if you don't wear it, I mean, you might miss the whole spring.
At least the sun is out.
Yeah, exactly. Now, but you know this very well firsthand because you are from here.
I am from here. My parents actually met in Chicago. They're both from the Philippines, but they met in Chicago. So I was born and raised in Chicago suburbs. Let's clarify because I know there's a big debate there, but... Yes.
Where do you mind sharing whereabouts?
Yeah, so I grew up in Glendale Heights.
Okay.
So western suburbs. Went to Glenbard North High School, and then moved on to University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
So what was that first generation, American life like for you out there? I think it's something that so many people here share in common. Like being Filipino, you kind of have this. It's a very interesting Jimenez. I mean, look at that, right?
Exactly.
It's a very interesting culture that being Latino, being Mexican, you relate to so much, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, I feel like, between Mexicans and Filipinos. Mm-hmm. But being raised in a very traditional family, my dad was a mechanical engineer. My mom was a nurse. That's kind of typical in Filipino households. So doing something outside of a traditional field, whether it be medicine, law, education, accounting, those kind of traditional fields is what my parents knew. So for me to be in fashion, especially in styling, was kind of very, very strange.
Really?
And very new to them, yeah.
I'm assuming supportive because you're still here.
Super supportive. They had to embrace the unknown a little bit. Do it again.
Super supportive, right?
Yeah. Super supportive, but they had to trust me. They really just kind of had to trust me. I'm the firstborn. They, immigrated to this country. Of course, they wanted me to be stable and have a good career, but...
Firstborn, that's tough when you're...
Very
overprotective.
So tough.
You kind of figure everything out on your own.
Well, they just want to do everything right. There comes a point in life where you look at your parents and you're just like, you understand why they did the things that they did. But I am glad that I had enough belief in myself to... pivot out of what was traditional and do what I loved.
And passion, this desire or whatever you want to call it, this, I don't even know what you call it at that young age. I mean, is it fashion for you? Was it that? Is it a creative expression? Like, where was that first spark for you when it came to more so this creative expression that you find through fashion?
Yeah, I guess I could take it back probably to grade school, even going way back. So I went to Catholic school. I had to wear a uniform every single day. I had no choice but to put on a plaid skirt, white shirt, white socks, and that was it. So when I got to high school and I went to public school and I had finally the opportunity to buy Gap jeans and play around with different clothes, I became that really overly trendy girl. And I think it was because I finally saw that you could choose. You could choose how to put things together, and I found a lot of joy in that. But I didn't know. I mean, in high school, I still didn't know. I thought it was just kind of a fun.
But it wasn't until then. Like, you had no inkling whatsoever. Like, it was almost that process of having to do it, right? Like, now you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah. No, I had no idea back then that fashion was going to be my career path. And again, coming from a traditional upbringing, it wasn't really an option. So I went on to college. I got my degree in advertising, minored in journalism. And so I went into corporate America. So I went the traditional path. And it was good. It was very solid. It was very lucrative. It was very safe. I made a good good living. I bought my first condo when I was 27, my first car when I was, I think it was around that same age. And I was living that kind of traditional, what my parents had wanted me to do, but I wasn't in love with it.
And, you know, when you go down that path, I think you don't realize the lessons learned along the way that are going to help you later, right? Like, right. Had you gone into it, just into the styling, just into the fashion industry, you probably would have been, you know, would have been great, sure, but you wouldn't have known what you know now, right? And,
yeah.
And to treat yourself almost as a client of, you know, from your past experiences of this knowledge and this wisdom that you bring that's so important to marketing yourself, to advertising yourself, right?
Right.
How have that, or how have those experiences played into, you know, you today with how you got started? And we'll jump back to how you got started, right? But
yeah,
I'm just curious to see, having that kind of background, where do you see the greatest strengths coming from having gone through that?
Through corporate America and advertising?
Yeah.
You know, I'm so grateful that I went through that. I was in corporate America. I worked at an advertising agency for 7 years, and I'm so glad that I did. So if anything, it was the connections, the people that I met, and then those skills that, of course, are transferable in every field, regardless of what you do, right? How do you communicate verbally? How do you present yourself in a corporate situation? How do you attract new clients and new business? And how do you, at the time I was an account executive, so you had to be that middle person between the client and the media, right? And it's funny because now as a stylist, I am that middle person between the designers and the brands and then the clients.
And you have that relationship to your clients as well, coming like from that background that,
yeah.
I mean, let's face it, the majority of people that you're probably working with, just in a professional sense, are somehow working in corporate America or in that, 100%. You know,
yeah.
environment, right?
Yeah. And so I feel like I have that knowledge because I've been there. And so a lot of my clients, I work with both women and men, a lot in Chicago, but virtually around the country as well. But a lot of them are those C-level people that are working in the corporate setting where they need to, you know, not be completely suited because times have changed. You know, the wardrobing at offices settings is different. But they really need to show up in a very professional way and still look polished, still look like the boss that they are. It's good to kind of have come from that setting to know how to dress my clients in the same manner.
So I gotta ask, how was that transition, right? When was that moment that you said, look, this is great, it's provided me a wonderful lifestyle, not to take away from it, but I have to now pursue my passion? When did that happen for you?
January. I know that.
You have a date. You have a tattoo.
I don't know the exact day, but I remember it was January of 2007.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I remember it was probably one of the most liberating days in my career. I remember I went to my desk, didn't even turn on my computer, put my, you know, stuff down and walked into the VP's office and just told her, you know what? It's time for me to move into a different career path. I'm really passionate about fashion. And I was, at the time, I was going to work at a boutique and manage the boutique and help do the buying. And she supported me 100%. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. It was a family agency, Shaker Advertising in Oak Park, Illinois.
Shout out to them.
And
are they still around?
They are still around.
Look,
and they're thriving.
That's amazing.
Yeah, family owned and thriving. And so that's kind of when it started. And I remember when I went back to my desk and kind of the word circulated around the office that I was leaving, I was going to go pursue a career in fashion. And I remember one of my coworkers was like, I wish I had the courage to do what you're doing, because they couldn't see themselves actually taking the risk.
It's like,
right?
they're huge cuffed risk. To it, right?
They
feel like the golden handcuffs. You hear it so often, right?
Yeah. But I remember at the time thinking, if I don't do this now, when am I ever going to do it?
Yeah.
And if I fail, I'm okay with that.
Well, and what was the scene like then? Because I think for me, just being so new into the fashion scene and what I know of it is Chicago, that it seems like it's very up and coming now. Like there's finally some sort of scene. And that's what I hear.
Yeah.
Right. What was it like for you back then? What was there a scene? You know, was there a community?
You know what? There was a scene. And I feel like it was at the time when Akira started. Right. Shout out to Akira. The founders and owners of that company actually went to school with me at U of I.
Oh, no way.
And I remember when they started, they had this small space. It was on Damon, I believe, in Bucktown, mm-hmm. just a small store. And to see them blossom is incredible. But they had fashion shows. They were just really building a community in Chicago around that time. I remember it was like late 2007, 8, 9, like that. And there was also Chicago fashion focus. So there was like a fashion scene, right? But it kind of died off for a while. And then I went to move out to LA. I was there for 4 years, so I was not as connected. But I feel like
Do you think that had something to do with it? The fact that you saw it kind of like declining a little bit, or
for me,
was there not an opportunity?
Actually, I worked for Nordstrom. After I worked at this boutique in Hinsdale called Totem, I worked for Nordstrom, and they quickly promoted me out to Los Angeles. So I managed one of their designer departments. At the time, it was called VSC, and then their wedding suite. So I helped to build that up within the company. And so that's why I moved out to LA. So I wasn't as connected at that time with what was going on here. But I can say within the past couple years, the resurrection of community and fashion here in Chicago is unlike I've ever seen before. And I think it's a beautiful thing.
No, that's wonderful to hear.
It's a wonderful thing for designers, for stylists, for retail, for, you know, anyone in the fashion industry. I think it's a great time to be here.
And needs people like you who make that choice, right? Because I think there's so many people that you see and that they're the ones that stand out in their office. They're the ones that stand out in their families, their friends groups, you know, that you're like, oh, this is the fashionista, right, of the group.
There's always that one.
So I think it's just pointing people in that direction. What advice would you give to those who are listening and, you know, they're like, hey, I want to do this, but I just can't imagine making a career out of it. Or what would I do, right? There's so many what ifs and fears, but obviously we know that regret is one of the most difficult things to have to experience when you could have done something about it, right? But what advice would you give to those that are thinking about it, want to, but just haven't made that leap yet?
That pivot.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot of advice I could give. I guess what I would say is when you're starting out and when you feel that gut saying that your intuition is leading you in a different direction, to act on it. And really just kind of think through, like, how am I going to take steps to get myself out of my current situation, right? We all have to be responsible. We're all adults. We have to figure out how to make an income, right? But you do have to figure out, in the long run, what's going to sustain me emotionally, obviously, physically, mentally, and where am I going to find the most purpose? We've got one chance at this life. You know, I'm at the age where I feel like I'm so blessed to have found my purpose and what I want to do and how I want to help clients and how I want to shape the next generation of stylists through education and mentorship. But I think if I were to go back, I would say, don't forget that you've got one shot at this life. Try it. Try to get yourself on the right path, because there's only so much time that we have here. And if you're not on the right path, you could be wasting a lot of time just getting by, right?
No.
So bet on yourself.
Absolutely. That's great advice. That's great advice. And even just from being on the other side of it, I think people miss out on that opportunity to really create community and to connect with people on those things when, you know, we're all very, very eclectic, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, just telling you how I love doing this and interviewing people, because no person is the same, right? No two people are the same. You know, we're all like snowflakes, I say.
Yeah.
But that's because we all come with these different, not only experiences, but that we're led in different ways for our passions. And when you get out there, one of the biggest things is that you start connecting with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, kind of tell me about that, what you've seen in terms of just, we mentioned a little bit about community, but, you know, how has that been for you in fashion here? And what again, do you think is like just the direction that things are heading at this point, given that you've seen it kind of go through ebbs and flows of, you know, it's been at its height at one point, and then now we're kind of heading back, hopefully, in that direction or beyond that.
Yeah. I feel like if you're in a position to help somebody connect the dots and to bring them into your network, introduce them to the right people, we're all going to benefit from that. So the way that we build community, right, is to welcome people in and to help them to get to their next step. At least for me, I feel like I'm really at that point where I want to bring people forward with me, right? When I see people that are trying to get into styling, And they just don't know how. Because for me, I forged a path of my own. Nobody taught me how to become a personal stylist. Nobody taught me how to start a business and to actually create services. And then, you know, what do you charge? How do you partner with the people? There's so many things, right? And so when I see people that are wanting to start, I want to bring them with me. I want to help them. I want to share with them what I have built and what I have learned to hopefully help make the process a little bit easier for them, right? And if we kind of create that ripple effect, right, where, you know, here I'm helping someone else, that person is going to rise up and make their own connections. Then they're going to bring another person in, make some more connections. That's where you build this really strong community of, you know, entrepreneurs, of just good people that want to help others.
No, yeah. And it's so important. And even I think people just think about it sometimes as a competitive thing, right? But, you know, wanting to be the only one in a space, that's not even lucrative, right? Because then you're always having to educate people on what you do, and you're the only one doing it.
Right.
But if there's a community of, oh my God, look, the personal stylist business is, you know, booming, and now everyone is hiring personal stylists, then you're more likely to get hired because it's become a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like coaches now.
Yeah.
Everybody has some sort of business coach or life coach or whatever, but that's a huge industry.
Yeah.
And I really do see that personal styling is kind of going in that direction. Right?
It's a beautiful thing.
No, it is.
It's becoming more common. Whereas before, so when I started my business, I remember watching The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I got to share this story. Real Housewives, right? And this was back in like early 2000s-ish. And I remember seeing this housewife, and she had a stylist come to her home with a rolling rack of stuff, all the accessories, shoes, and she just kind of sat down, and the stylist like curated it all for her. And I remember thinking, why can't the everyday person have this? It's not just for those that have the money to do it. Granted, it is an investment to hire a personal stylist, but it should be more accessible to the everyday person, right? And everyday people are everywhere. And so the rise of the personal stylist and the need for a personal stylist, I think, is higher than it's ever been.
And
it's a good place to be.
No, it really is. And I mean, just in fashion in general, I think we're being more conscious of it. And as you become more conscious of it, you know, you're not spending on things that, you know, fast fashion is what I'm getting at.
Right.
Right. Like you start to be more intentional about it and investing in pieces that are going to last. And like I still wear something that my dad had, you know, like built, you know, made well. That should last. Right.
Yeah.
So now, for you and kind of working with clients, how have you developed your style throughout the years? Because I'm sure what the way that you were when you first started is probably totally different or, you know, evolved or refined in some way. But like kind of what is your style when you first started? You know, are you still on that same kind of vibe?
Mm-hmm.
And how has it evolved?
Oh, that's a good question. How has my style evolved? I think at the core of me, my style has kind of always been the same. I love to do classic pieces with a little bit of an edge, shows a little bit of personality, and just has a little bit of flair. So I guess if I go back in time, it's kind of always been that way. But I've gotten to know my body and my silhouette and my style better over the years. The longer that you obviously are on this planet and are dressing yourself, the more in tune you're going to become with your likes, things that you know, gravitate towards, things that you gravitate against. So you have to be really intentional and pay attention to what you keep grabbing, what colors it is that you keep grabbing, what cuts, what designers, right? And so I think over the years, I've become more selective about the designers that I choose to wear, about the cuts and silhouettes that I decide to put on my body. And so I think it's become more tailored. But at the core of it, I think I'm the same girl that I was when I was 23.
That's cool, though. I love that. And when you work with clients, I think, you know, so for me, I guess I should speak for myself, but I think sometimes when you have those misconceptions, right, you start to see that a lot of people have the same misconceptions. But how is it that someone who's a stylist, right? And you're talking about yourself and your own taste. That doesn't always transfer to the client because you're not imposing anything, right?
No.
So take me through that process of how, at least how it should go and how, you know, for most people, right? So that they're not like, oh, I'm not going to use a stylist because they're like, the way they dress is not how I would dress. But that's not the point, right?
No.
So to kind of take me through that process of working with a stylist and more so, you know, working with you.
Yeah. as I have trained and helped to build stylists over the years, it's one of the things that I emphasize the most is you are not pushing your personal style onto your clients, right? So my job as a personal stylist is not to build other Rachel J's around me and to give them the same, you know, the same clothes that I would wear. You have to really understand the client. So take time to figure out who they are as a person, what their lifestyle is. I mean, very basic stuff, but really think about, put yourself in the shoes of that client. What are they doing Monday through Friday, on weekends, on evenings? And then it would be great to go into their closet and actually assess what they already have and what they've already been habitually buying. Because we are creatures of habit. We end up buying the same things. How many women have 10 pairs of black pants, right? And 10 pairs of dark jeans, and still not nailing it, not getting the right one that fits them exactly right. So really analyzing yourself, knowing your habits, and then a good stylist should be able to pick up on that and then figure out how to put pieces together that represent them the way that they want the world to see them, right? So personal style has a lot to do with what you're choosing. Anyone can be fashionable. Anyone can go out and just and buy pieces. You could have a whole closet, a whole house of things, but that doesn't mean you have style. Style is how you choose to put those pieces together. And one thing I always say is if I'm 99.9% sure, if I asked a group of 100 people to put together, just put on a basic white t-shirt and jeans, throw on some shoes, I guarantee you not two people would have the same white tee, same jeans, and the same shirt or sneakers or shoes, right? Because everyone's different. So what you choose ultimately is a reflection of your personal style.
Very much so. No, yeah. Very much so. And yeah, even just seeing like the casting call when we did, like, you know, you tell people wear a specific thing and yeah. Even then it's all over the
there's
place.
There's a whole, it's all over the place.
It's right? All over the place.
But there's a beauty in that, right?
Very much
there's
so. Yeah.
In that.
Very much so. And how have you, I guess, been influenced by a lot of, because Chicago is unique. I mean, mm-hmm. We're not, I feel like we have just a classy look, right? Whereas yeah. You get to New York, LA, and not even mention in the Parises and the Milans, but that it's very, a lot more conservative here, right?
Yeah.
How have you, I mean, do you walk that line between, you know, kind of pushing the boundaries a little bit of what is more acceptable, even in, like I said, those other fashion cities?
Yeah.
But not too much to where it's like overwhelming here in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how do you balance all that?
I think you got to figure out what your client, how far they want to be pushed and how much they want to experiment, right? You're totally right. In Chicago, it's a lot safer. I used to go downtown, I remember, and I would see just a sea of the same. There's a uniform, right? If you're downtown Chicago, it's a khakis for the guys. It's khakis and a light blue shirt with maybe a brown belt and brown shoes, right? And then for the women, it was like black pants with like a, you know, a printed top and maybe a cardigan. So there was a uniform. And I think that the more that we realize that we don't have to blend in, and we can stand out, and doesn't have to be outlandish, doesn't have to be super crazy. But here in Chicago, I feel like there is that, like, let me just blend in. Let me just, it's just work, which I hate to hear, because how often are we at work,
mm-hmm.
right? Or it's just a game, or it's just this. And it's like, this is just life, you know? So dress, have fun with it.
But I think yeah. It is that, though. You're right. It is a uniform. And I think that uniform is don't stand out, is
yeah.
You know, work hard and you know, don't make any noise. And we're not that flashy city. And,
yeah.
You know, and that's just the way it is here, right? But then you're starting to hear a lot about personal branding. And then you're like, well, personal branding is about being unique and what makes you different.
Right.
So how have you seen that aspect of people coming to you now that are more so mm-hmm. focused on a personal brand, right? And mm-hmm. how has that become a topic of conversation, or has that at all with you?
Oh, it happens. Absolutely does. So yeah. A lot of times we'll do personal branding shoots, right? Mm-hmm. And that can be very simple. Maybe clients need a new headshot for LinkedIn, or they just want updated social media photos or images to put on their website, right? So again, to be able to dig in and figure out maybe what are their branding colors, right? That's one of the first questions. Like, what does your logo look like? You want to be on brand, right? With what the vibe is of your company, and then you want to emulate that.
Yeah.
So I think it has a lot to do with just taking some time, be really intentional and thoughtful about what you put out there, how you present yourself, and then dress how you want to be addressed.
All words of wisdom. and you know, oftentimes you think, well, this is just a stylist talking, and you know, but you're much more than that. Tell me about these exciting things that are also going on in your life, because you're also educating young minds as well, right?
I am. So I started to teach fashion styling at Columbia College, Chicago. So I am a professor there, and something that I'm very proud of.
Like, I'm not just a stylist, I'm the authority on style.
I don't know. It's a big title, but I'm really proud to have it. Yeah, so I started there fall of 2022.
Recently.
Yeah.
I mean,
fashion styling has become the largest concentration within the fashion studies department.
Yeah, you mentioned that when we were on the call, and I'm like, it's crazy.
There is a yearning and a desire to learn about styling, and I'm incredibly encouraged that finally fashion styling has become recognized as a creative art. So it used to be, like, back in my day, if I wanted to get a fashion degree, right, you went into retail management, maybe you went into design, maybe you went into visual merchandising, maybe the business of fashion, but styling was always kind of overlooked. So I'm really excited to be able to teach not only the foundations of styling, right, but also the business side of it and how you can actually have a career in personal styling. So outside of my business, that's what Mondays are dedicated to my Columbia students.
Very incredible. And take it a step further. You're April 2nd.
May 2nd. Yep.
You got something going on. Tell me about it.
So there's a TEDx at Columbia College that I'm going to be speaking at. So I think I'll be one of, I think, about 15 speakers. It's open to the public. I'll have more details on it. But I'm super excited and honored to. It's one of those things that I've always wanted to do. You have this kind of dream checklist in your career, like, I want to do this. And I thought, well, I'll get to it, or maybe I'll pitch myself to a TEDx stage somewhere, but it kind of came to me. And so, I'm excited.
Very exciting. Yeah. You already know what the topic is and everything?
I do.
Okay.
I won't share.
No, you can't share
yet. Not yet.
Well,
not yet.
Stay tuned, right?
Yeah, stay tuned.
So, you know, with all of this and how personal styling, when you first started it, it was your personal styling, you're working with clients, mm-hmm. now you're a professor, you're doing talk. You know, where do you see this as far as yourself, but also as an industry, you know, really evolving into, where you mix that into with content, right? Social media and people being influencers in these spaces and everything, and AI, obviously, like, there's just so
whole
much,
other topic.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, the direction of fashion, but more so for styling. How do you see that evolving? Just now. Forget in the future. I mean, like, I feel like the future is now.
Yeah. I mean, styling, of course, this industry is evolving and very quickly. And there used to be, not used to be, but there's definitely a difference between being an influencer, right? Or a blogger, as it was kind of when I was coming up. Then there's a difference between that and that of a stylist. Right. And so I feel like the styling part of it, where we are focusing on styling other people, not just influencing them, obviously working with brands and partnering, that's a whole nother leg of the industry. But styling as itself is really expanding. And I can't wait to see what happens with it. I feel like it's just going to keep growing.
It really
is. From this point on.
No, it really is. It's super exciting. And just super excited that you're a part of all this. You know, our first magazine, doing a shoot and everything. So super exciting stuff coming on top of all that you're already doing. But how can people find you, follow you, support you, subscribe, all those good things?
All the good things. Yeah. I'm probably most present on Instagram. So you can follow me at Rachel J Styling. Of course, I've got my website. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I love to get messages that way, and a lot of opportunities come that way. So you can find me at Rachel Jimenez Penka there. Facebook, Rachel J Styling, all the things, all the places. I'm there.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for being a part of our community. And thank you for just, again, that energy that you're bringing to all of us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.